turn to the Psalms, to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And I'm sure that you already know that there are 22 sections in Psalm 119, each one of them headed by a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. They're significant, but I'm not going to get into that today. What we're going to do is just read one verse from Psalm 119. And it's a verse that we use in singing with the children. It's verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. I have used already in these studies the maxim that my mother taught me when I was little. This book will keep me from sin, but sin will keep me from this book. And the first part of that, this book will keep me from sin, is really another way of saying Psalm 119 verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. We need to hide God's word in our hearts. How are we going to do that? Last time we talked about meditation. And without going into all that I said at that time, I'm sure you'll remember what I said about meditation, that it is not about emptying your mind, it is about filling your mind. Meditation, as far as false religions are concerned, especially Eastern religions like Hinduism, it's based upon emptying your mind. And the problem with that is when you empty your mind of good things, it is then susceptible to all kinds of evil entering in. And that's exactly what happens in transcendental meditation and so forth. The Bible never says empty your mind. The Bible says fill your mind. We're to think on these things, Philippians 4 verse 8, the things that are good and honest and of good report and so on. Filling your mind with the Word of God is meditation. Psalm number 1 and verse 2 says of the blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Thinking about the Bible. But as well as meditation, and we use the illustration of the cow chewing the cud, that's what we've got to do. We read the word, we hear the word, then think about it afterwards. Mull it over in your mind. Turn it over in your mind. Think about it. Meditate upon it. As well as that, there's the important aspect of memorization. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. How are you going to hide God's word in your heart? One of the best ways of doing that is not only to read it. You need to do that. You're not going to be able to hide it in your heart if you've never read it. But also to study it, to meditate upon it, and to memorize it. You say, really? Memorize the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation? If you can, that would be a good thing to do. Very difficult, however. Well nigh impossible. But it's something that we certainly could attempt to do. It wouldn't hurt us to attempt to memorize the Bible. If you can't memorize it as far as saying it off by rote, you could certainly memorize it in the sense of finding out where everything is in the Bible. Now, where's the best place to start? The best place to start is to learn the books of the Bible. You say, well, I'm going to cheat because I have this little thing at the front of my Bible that shows me the books in order. Or even better than that, there's a bookstore that has these little sticky things that go on the page, and I put them into my Bible and they tell me where the books are. Okay, that's a good thing to do when you're starting off. But you know what I would recommend you do? Find out where the books of the Bible are in order and then take those little things off your Bible. Say, well, not find it as quickly as you do then. All right, then you can leave them there. But, seriously, we need to learn where everything is in the Bible. You should have a working knowledge of your tools. That certainly applies to ministers. One of the most incongruous things for me is a minister who doesn't know his Bible. And there are a lot of them out there, sadly. You should start, if you're going to memorize the Bible, if you're going to memorize scriptures, you should start by memorizing the books of the Bible in order. 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New. How many people knew that before we come in today? Okay, there you go. We need to learn our Bibles. Now, why is this important? It's important because at any given time, you're able to turn to any place in the Bible, pretty much. You know, you open your Bible round about the middle, and you know that you're pretty much in the book of Psalms somewhere, or Proverbs. And that's how you need to get to know your Bible. At one time, I did some, you could call it military training. So we did weapons training. One of the things you're taught, first and foremost, and those of you who have been in the service will know this, if you're going to carry a weapon, you better get to know that thing. You get to know it. It's your friend. If you point it the wrong way, it becomes your enemy very quickly. So you're taught never to look down the barrel of your gun. Never. At least that's what I was taught. Don't look down the barrel of your gun or anybody else's gun. And if you point a gun at somebody, you better be ready to use it. You need to know the weapon. You need to know how to strip the thing down, put it together, clean it, and all of that good stuff. Because it's your constant companion. Everywhere you go, that thing is with you for your protection and for the protection of other people. And that's how it is with the Word of God. We need to get to know our Bibles. That's a good place to start, is it not? Finding out where everything is. You say, well, I knew that you could say you believe the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, so at least I knew about the bookends. That's good. But learn where everything is. Now, that's just the start. Memorization involves learning about the contents of Scripture. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 28. Now, I didn't come here today to sing. I came to preach. But you got a little song thrown in there. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 10. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little and there a little. You see again in verse 13, much the same thing. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. We need to repeat the Bible, read it over and over and over again. You know how you learn? You learn by repetition. We teach the children that. When they're in school, they learn concepts, they learn principles, they learn math, they learn English, and they learn a lot of these things by repetition. I thought you knew that. We're going over it again. I did know that. Well, we're going over it again, and we're going over it again, and we're going over it again. And that's how you learn, and that's how you're able to memorize things. You should, and I should, store the Bible up in our hearts. And the way to do that is, first of all, to store it up in our memory. Thy word have I hid, or you could say, laid up in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. That's the proper thing for us to do. We need to memorize the word of God. When I was a child, and that's getting more and more of a distant memory all the time, I was taught by memorization. I was taught memory verses in Sunday school. I was taught memory verses in children's meetings. I was taught memory verses at home. We were taught to learn our Bibles. There are certain texts that I know where they are to this day because I memorized where they were. Book, chapter, and verse. Some of them are to do with salvation. Some of them are to do with other subjects. But it's good for us to do that. And I would certainly like to encourage you to try to learn at least, and I think it is the least, one verse of Scripture every week. I don't think that's difficult. In fact, I think that's the least that you could do. But set yourself that task. Memorize where certain things are in Scripture. because there's nothing better than being in a place where you haven't got your Bible to hand. I always say you should travel with your Bible, but there are occasions where it's not right there to hand. And it's good to be able to have a working knowledge of the Scripture, and at least to be able to, if you're talking to somebody about the Lord, quote some Scripture. And then they'll ask you, well, where's that found in the Bible? Oh, I'm not too sure. I know it's in there somewhere. That's happened to me, even preaching. I know it's in there somewhere. But where is it? It's good to memorize Scripture. Book, chapter, and verse. Now, what you don't want to do is have the book, chapter, and verse, but you don't know what the verse is. And that's not really going to work either. But I think that's sometimes what happens to us. And we forget where things are, but then that's why we have to memorize them and store them away in our minds again. The Word of God itself teaches us that we should memorize it, that we should lay it up in our hearts. You think about Paul's exhortation to the Colossian church in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Let me read this to you. Here is not only good advice, but it really is an exhortation and a command to the Lord's people. Colossians 3 verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I know of people who remember the words of songs from their youth very, very well. Some old song, maybe a piece of garbage that they listened to when they were young, but they can rattle that thing off just as easy as anything. They remember every word of it. But when it comes to the Scripture, they're pretty much illiterate. That's not good. That's a sad thing. Now, if you're just a new Christian, that's understandable. If you're just a new Christian, you wouldn't expect you to know much about the Word of God. But if you say that you've been a Christian for a long time and you don't know the Word of God, that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing at all. So we need to memorize the Scriptures. We could memorize it systematically. Someone asked me one day what would be a good study Bible. Well, there are a lot of different aids to study that are out there. But I know that there are some Bibles that have notes attached to them, that is, separately. For example, the Thompson Chain Reference Bible. It has a whole slew of stuff. After you have the Word of God itself, then you have all these studies, all these things that are alphabetically listed and historical stuff and so on and so forth. Very valuable. But all the way through that, even in the text of Scripture, there are suggested themes. There are verses that are actually linked together. And if you have one of those, you will see how that it brings together a number of verses on the same theme. Now, what I would say to you as a good thing for you to do is to memorize a lot of verses that speak to the same thing. That's a good way to study your Bible, to memorize the Bible systematically. Things about the grace of God, things about salvation. I think it's good to have associated texts. It's good to have, and you might have to have a notebook to do this for yourself, to get a bunch of texts that speak to the same thing and write them all out and then try to memorize them. Verses about prayer, for example. It's good to have those listed in your mind and heart. Studying the Bible systematically. I think that that's a principle of education. Association, it's a very great secret of a retentive memory. There are aids to memorization. I've been blessed, I think, with a good memory. Someone said, you know that you're getting old when there are two things that you forget. One is where things are found, and I can't remember the other one. That's how people are when they get old. They stop remembering things. That's why it's important for us to go over and over and over and over things and over them again and over them again. Because that way, they're fixed in our minds and our hearts. You think about the benefit of this. You're lying in bed sometime and you can't get to sleep. So you start thinking about verses of Scripture. Now, you're not going to think about verses of Scripture if you don't know any verses of Scripture. You need comfort. There's something on your mind that's really bothering you. And then you're able to think of certain verses, certain promises that God has given. They become a comfort to your heart. But if you don't know those verses, and you've never thought much about those verses, how are they going to come back to your mind and heart? You see, we need to memorize the Word of God. And there are many, many other things that I could say about this, but committing verses and even portions to memory is a really good thing to do. When I was much younger, we used to, in Sunday school, have several portions that we had to study. We had to memorize an entire chapter or a part of a chapter along with, say, 20 catechism questions and answers. And all that the catechism questions and answers were things from the Bible set out in a systematic way. It's good to commit things to your memory by book, chapter, and verse. And just what I said a moment ago brings to my mind what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14 verse 26. See, the Holy Spirit works on our minds. He works on our hearts. But I can tell you right now, the Holy Spirit is not going to put into your mind what you have not already read. You say, really? Really? That's not how the Spirit of God works. How is someone going to know, for example, the content of John 3:16 if they've never seen that or read that? See, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if someone has never received the Word of God, how are they going to retain it? How are they going to think about it? Now look at John 14 verse 26, and I'll show you the significance of what I'm saying. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and watch this, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Jesus said things to the disciples, and he told them that later on, the Holy Spirit would bring those things back to their minds. Now, he's not going to bring back to their minds that which they never heard Jesus say in the first place. You see what I'm saying? You have to study the Bible, you have to read it, you have to have read these scriptures and commit them to memory, if you like, if the Holy Spirit is going to take those things and use them in your life. You have to have a store from which the Spirit of God himself draws to encourage and challenge your heart. The Holy Spirit brings to your remembrance the things that the Lord has said. I think some people have a weird idea about this, that somehow there's going to be verses implanted in their minds that they've never heard or seen or read before. That God could do that. God could do that. But I believe in the generality of cases, the Lord doesn't do that. The Lord doesn't bring back to your mind what you haven't put into your mind in the first place. Things are not coming back to your mind that were never there to start with. Hence, we must read, meditate upon, and memorize the Scripture. And that's a wonderful thing to do. What a blessing it is to be able to go to your Bible and to know where things pretty much are. You can get that working knowledge of Scripture, and it comes about chiefly through memorization. As I say, there are many other things I could say in regard to that. But if you don't take anything else away today, try to remember this. Try to memorize this. I need to memorize the Scriptures. I need to learn the verses. I need to get them into my heart and mind and meditate upon them and think upon them, and they will be a blessing not only to me but to others. I recall many, many times growing up at home where my mother would go to the door to answer the door, and when she would open the door, there were two guys standing there with their briefcases or whatever, and we knew immediately who they were. See, my mother quoted this verse. It's not in the Bible, but it's a good one. By their suits you shall know them. Now it's their short sleeve shirts and their little name tags, Elder Berry, or whatever it may be. You know those guys? And they're so clean cut. And they're such nice guys, and some of them are very handsome guys. But they're devils. They're devils in disguise. You say, really? Yes, really. Because they're bringing a satanic message. And the evils that the Mormon Church, the Church of so-called Latter-day Saints, is peddling around the world, is damning souls by the million. But they used to come to our door, missionaries from the good old United States, spending 2 years on the mission field, and then they go back to their normal life. That's what Mormons do. But I was always greatly impressed by the fact that when the Mormons came to our door, here's this little woman on her own who was more than a match for these guys, who could take her Bible and quote it by rote like that. Verses about the deity of Christ, verses about salvation, things that undercut their doctrines. And usually those guys, after arguing a little bit, would clear off. And I would see them at the bottom of the path, writing in their little notebook. You know what they were doing? Putting the number of our door on. Do not go to this door again. That's what they were doing. You say, that was impressive. It was impressive. It was tremendously impressive to me. And I thought to myself, my mom knows her Bible. She knows her Bible. And so she's like someone who's going into battle with a sharper sword than the enemy that she's up against. She had the advantage because she knew her Bible. You know what most of us do? They come and they start talking to us and we shut the door and we say, we can't really talk to you too, because we're not fit to talk to them, because they've got more knowledge than we've got, and they're able to take us on, and they show us certain scriptures and we're thinking, oh, I never saw that one, I didn't know that. Goodbye. That's not what the Lord wants us to do. The Lord wants us to be able to combat false doctrine by our own knowledge of His Word. And that's just a challenge that I throw out to you there. Memorize, learn the scriptures. Something that's important in regard to our Bible study, and we're still talking here about studying the Bible doctrinally, meditating on it, memorizing it. We need to study the Bible as a whole. The whole Bible. I don't like the practice, and folks who come here to hear me preaching will know this because I've said it many times. I do not like the practice, generally speaking, of just carrying the New Testament. And the reason for that is not that it's not good to have your New Testament. It is good to have the New Testament, but that's half a Bible. In fact, it's not even half the Bible. It's the New Testament, and there's the Old Testament. And as someone once said, God has one mouth by which He speaks, but that one mouth has two lips. And one lip is the Old Testament, and the other lip is the New Testament. God has one mouth, but He has two lips. You say, well, I'm a New Testament Christian. That's good. We need to be New Testament Christians. We also need to be Two Testament Christians. We need to know the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Why? Because the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Let me run that by you again. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. They go together. You study the Old Testament in the light of the New Testament. You study the New Testament looking back to see what it is that's being fulfilled from the Old Testament. And the whole book is about Christ. That is why in that portion that's so precious in Luke chapter 24 and verse 27, it tells us that when Jesus was ministering to the two on the road to Emmaus, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He, the Bible says, expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, that means that Jesus went to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and the prophets, and the Psalms, and all the way through, and he drew out of that scripture all the things about himself. The types, the ceremonies, all of those things that spoke of him. You see, friends, the whole Bible is the Word of God, and therefore every part of it needs to be studied. Are there parts of it that are more difficult than others? You had better believe it. Yes, absolutely. There are parts of the Scripture that are very hard to be understood. And I think I'm in very good company when I say that, because the man of God himself in Scripture said that. When Peter was talking about the epistles of Paul, 2 Peter 3, verse 16, here's what he said of Paul. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. That's really comforting to me. Because if the apostle Peter said that in the epistles there are things that are hard to be understood, then I think I'm in good company. Because I find some things hard to understand. Which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. That means to pull them all out of context, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. We need to be men and women of the book. Years ago, in the days of John Wesley, they used to refer to the Methodists as Bible worms. You know what a bookworm is? We got some bookworms here, no doubt. Well, they were Bible worms. And we need to get into the Word. We need to saturate ourselves in the Word. And I believe it will be beneficial, not only to our own lives, but to the lives of other people as well. Because they will benefit from our knowledge that is imparted to them of God's precious Word. We'll leave it there for today. Remember to memorize the Scriptures.